Reporting on politics and public policy is supported by the Center for Western Studies at Augustana University.
Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. It's time for our conversation, our weekly conversation with the Dakota Political Junkies. We'll take a look at the top political headlines in this state, and we begin by welcoming John Hunter is with us. He's publisher of the Madison Daily Leader in Madison. John, thanks for being here.
Thanks, Lori. Glad to be here.
Also with us, Noel Hamill, former lawmaker and newspaper man. He's with us from the Black Hills Surgical Hospital studio in SDPB's Black Hills studio. Noel, thanks for being here as well.
Thank you, Lori.
All right, let's start. Where shall we begin? Should we there's a lot happening in Pierre. Let's start with sports betting and Deadwood. And what's driving this conversation in Pierre about sports betting? Noel, would you like to kick that off?
Well, yeah, I mean, the genie's out of the bottle in terms of sports, in terms of betting in South Dakota. You know, the state approved it back in the late 80s, at least mostly in Deadwood, but we have video lotteries statewide, and voters have upheld that, two or three times when they tried to, when there were efforts to repeal legalized gambling. But South Dakota voters, they like the idea of the revenue coming in and keeping their taxes down. Now, sports betting is just the last, not the last, it's the latest chapter in that story after the Supreme Court ruled that states could do it. And but it does require a change in our state constitution. So that's what's behind it. Sports betting advocates would like to have voters change the constitution so that sports betting could be allowed. It's from what I read, and maybe you know more, maybe John, maybe you have a later number, but it doesn't look like it would be a huge windfall. The number I've seen is $4 million, which sounds like a lot of money, but if you spread it out, it's not that much. But that's what's behind the debate, and I know the opposition has been a little surprising, but my guess is that it'll eventually prevail.
Hmm. John Hunter, any insight into this?
Well, Noel is right. I've also heard it's a relatively small number. And so I think those who would like to do it or those who are considering it want to do it correctly. In other words, not expose. You know, it's a little bit different than video lottery and some of the other things that are a little more tightly controlled. This has the chance of betting on live sports events, which sure. Then are subject to change. And maybe remember the history books 110 years ago with the Black Sox scandal, where gamblers were everywhere and sports betting was everywhere, and teams and players were throwing games, and it wasn't just that team. There were many instances of that. So I think opponents, at least some, have concerns about people throwing games and so forth. And we don't, again, you set up the law, and if it's only you're going to bet on the NFL, it's a little bit different story than if you're saying, look, let's bet on Dakota Wesleyan or maybe on Pierre High School or whatever other kinds of things you bet on. So I think there's even those who are supporting it want to do it correctly, and those mm-hmm. who are opposing it then want to make sure some of these terrible circumstances don't occur.
Right. So some of it is about money and, you know, sort of the viability of communities and greater income. But when we look back at, you know, the community of Deadwood, Noel, I mean, that is a huge transformation. So of that community from the beginning, when the doors to legalized gambling were opened in the first place, this brings in a whole nother sort of cultural transformation, doesn't it?
Deadwood is, you know, actually, you could make an argument that if you didn't have legalized gambling, Deadwood would look nothing like it does today. I mean, the whole legalized gambling has poured millions of dollars into the restoration and historical restoration of Deadwood and other communities, because a portion of that money is spread out. Deadwood is behind this. Deadwood is pushing for it. From what I read, They say that it will particularly help, you know, during off seasons. Sports gambling is pretty much year round. It's going to be a boon to them. As I said, I can't imagine this failing. I think ultimately it'll be approved for the reasons that we've already talked about. I don't know which paper I was reading the other day, but it was quoting Larry Eliason, who is, isn't he the executive director of the, what, the some association, Video Lottery Commission or something. And he was sitting in a bar, and this guy sitting next to him places a bet on his cell phone to a bookie on a sports event. And it was a funny story because I think Eliason was quoted saying he didn't know who I was, but he was placing an illegal bet on a sporting event sitting next to me. And so we know that that sort of activity is going on. The state just as well capitalized on it. At least that's one of the arguments.
Sure. And John, for folks who are, I mean, first of all, I know so little about sports betting, but is that a thing where you could bet on high school sports as well? Is that part of the conversation?
Well, it takes place. I mean, if part of this discussion includes the idea that, look, it's happening everywhere anyway, then let's just legalize it, then it wouldn't be illegal to do so, then, I mean, you can bet on anything, ball strikes, you know, some, you know, whether the team's going to wear blue that day. I mean, there's all you can bet illegally on just about anything. So I just think that if there is, if you're going to have this kind of thing, then you need to put some outlines around it to do it correctly.
Right. And for those who are not big fans of there being gambling in the first place, for whatever reason, this adds a sort of a frenzy that they would argue adds to this notion of addiction and creates more problems for people financially and
relationally.
Well, I do know, relationally.
I mean, Lori, I'm sorry to interrupt, but I do know someone who was addicted to sports gambling and lost everything, and it's not a comfortable circumstance. He just happened to be a terrific big sports fan, and gambling was his thing. He didn't gamble on any, didn't play cards or video lottery or any of those kinds of things, and loved sports, and that was his outlet, and it was a tragedy eventually. But so the anti-gambling people in general would have some concern about this.
Right. And John, it seems to me, and again, I'm just, you know, kind of diving into this for the first time today, but there's skill based in sports. I suppose you could argue there's skill based in blackjack or, you know, other games, but there's people might be given the impression that they know their team. They know they've studied and they know who's going to win this game. It creates a dimension that maybe you don't have in a slot machine, for example.
It is a little different than just kind of pushing a button or pulling a handle.
Yeah.
That the luck of the draw, that there is, you know, not a game of chance. It is different, and we'll see how that is perceived among South Dakotans. Remember, the legislative would only allow the state or put it on a ballot for the people eventually to decide. So the legislature will not decide that issue this session.
Right. I'll have to do some more research because my favorite thing about Deadwood is the Festival of Books. So that's probably not why everyone goes to Deadwood. I've been many times. I've never put a dollar into any machine. So is that
have you bet on James Joyce or what?
No, I have not. Who's going to be the next One Book South Dakota? Take your wagers over here. All right, let's take a look at some other things coming out of Pierre. And in our previous hour, we talked about transgender legislation and gender expression. And I find this so fascinating because as you listen to the testimony in Pierre about any kind of transgender legislation, you can hear people trying to figure out what is it that we're really talking about? And what is the intent of this bill? And questions like, what is it that this bill actually does right now? This is part of a bigger sort of cultural conversation that's reflecting itself legislatively. So, Noel, when we talk about the current transgender athletes bill and education, instruction provided in K-12 schools, why does this keep coming up as a conversation?
Well, I have a theory about how the news is decided and gathered. You know, it's South Dakota. There was a time when we sort of sat out here in the middle of the U.S. in splendid isolation, but that's, as we all know, that's no longer the case. And we have a global news transmission. We have issues that are hot issues on the coasts, and eventually everything makes its way to South Dakota. I don't know. I looked at these bills before the legislature, and you know the bill by Senator Boland was killed, what was it, 2 or 3 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. But now we have, is it House Bill 1225? It's a concern to traditionalists because they believe that people, regardless of how they identify, are still biologically as they were born. And so if you are going to, and that was Senator Boland's position, it's not about bathrooms, it's not about some of the more inflammatory issues, it's simply about if you're born a female or a male, then that's the sport in which you should participate. But those who are for the gender identification leeway say that those people, have the right to identify with the sex that they are comfortable with. If you look at the South Dakota High School Activities procedure for, if you want, let's say you're a student and you wanted to participate in a sport that isn't your birth certificate gender, you would have to alert your school. The school would have to gather information. They would have to document that information, and then that's all forward to the High School Association, Activities Association, which then, I believe, takes a look at it. They appoint a hearing officer, and they look at the data. So that process, lawmakers have told me, is comforting. It sort of, the ones that I've talked to have said, we want to let the process work. We want to let the Activities Association take care of it. There's a clause in there that says that, if the student is doing this strictly to have a advantage in an athletic sport, they won't approve it. Now, having said all that, I don't know what the scorecard shows. I don't know how many applications the Activities Association has received. I don't know how they've ruled on them. But I do think that the flip side of that is that you can have a process that's thorough, but I wouldn't think that that would actually, to Boland's point, it's hard to argue that the biological advantage is ever affected by the process. So it's a controversy, no question.
Right. And then we also have House Bill 1108, which is trying to ban gender expression instruction in public schools. John Hunter?
Wait, are they going to take away our pronouns, Lori?
John Hunter, what's behind this? Why does it keep coming up? Why is it, because, to Noel's point, we're covering it. So, we've decided it's a topic worth talking about because the legislation is going through and people want to have a conversation about it. But what do you think lawmakers' intentions are by bringing up, every session, some kind of transgender legislation to sort of address this problem that maybe they don't understand? Is it even a problem, I guess?
I don't know why it is proposed. Obviously, that's a question for the sponsors of those bills. But it is, I would say, a nationwide, maybe a worldwide issue, and that lawmakers of all sorts and all levels are, in most cases, I would think, want to do the right thing, and different people have the idea of what the right thing is. Mm-hmm. And so, we elect people to go to peer every winter and try to make some decisions for us. And then in other
times we say, look, this is a local issue. We should elect people locally who can handle this. And so it is in flux. We're just learning. Your segment at 11 o'clock, I thought was very instructive, that talked a little bit about there's some kind of gray areas, and there's a little bit difference apparently between kind of inside and outside that are challenging for those, especially in athletics, that would love to see fair playing circumstances. And so far we kind of divide the world into two and say we have girls sports and boys sports, and that seems to be very competitive and seems to be fair in most cases. But so I don't know the answer, Lori, as to why people introduce things, whether they're trying to change things or keep things the same or what they're trying to do.
Yeah. So, Noel, as a former lawmaker, this is one of the questions I want to ask, because as I listen to the testimony, as longer I do this job and the more I tune into some of the conversations, sometimes what I'm hearing, and tell me if I'm on the wrong path, but sometimes what I'm hearing is people trying to process things that maybe we would have a 30-minute conversation on the show, asking those hard questions and following curiosity. And sometimes it seems like that there's legislation that really is an opportunity to have a conversation. And sometimes that legislation doesn't go anywhere. Sometimes it does, and it astounds people. But my question to you, Noel, as a former lawmaker, is how much of what's happening in peer, either during testimony or after the, during a caucus or at the restaurant after work, is really people just trying to figure out life?
You would have to ask me a question like
these
that.
These are the big questions that I wait. I wait until John and Noel are on the show, because I really want to know this.
That's an interesting question, and it would go back to, why do people run for political office? As you know, some people run for political office because they have an issue. They have an axe to grind. They want to get something done. They're pretty much one issue or two issue candidates. So you know going in that they have an objective. They want to get a bill passed that will accomplish X. Other candidates, this is just my observation, other candidates are not like that at all. They are generally interested in public service. They are interested in trying to be good listeners and making a contribution, trying to share some wisdom, trying to represent the interests of the state. You have a lot of in-betweens. And so when you hear the testimony or you go to the caucuses, I mean, Lori, it's really all of the above. Look what's going on nationally. We have some really good people on the national stage, don't you agree? And we have some people that are absolutely on a different planet. it is the sausage machine. I mean, people go into politics for different reasons, and I don't think I've done a very good job of answering your question, because it can really mean all of the above.
Yeah. Well, that's why we keep having the conversations. Noel Hamill and John Hunter, thank you so much. Our time flies by, as always. We appreciate you making time for us.
Enjoyed it.
Thanks, Lori.